It's the final countdown, ladies and gentlemen. We are just 3 days away, and we will have an election complete, or a voting complete, here in the United States of America. We will have maybe a new president, maybe the same president. We may have all new senators, maybe some of the few, maybe some will remain the same. Congress might change. Nothing might change. It may all go one side or the other. It's going to be one hell of a night, and this should be an interesting show because Dean and I want to talk to you about it's Halloween. What are you doing for Halloween? Staying home?
Halloween, it's a full moon, Pat.
It's a full moon out tonight. And not only that, but are anybody out there worried about what's going to happen after the night is over on Tuesday? If your guy doesn't get a chance to win and your team doesn't win, do you think there's going to be riots? Do you think people are going to go crazy? Are we up for another civil war? Or do you think people will come together? Now, Bill Maher last night on his show closed off by saying, listen, let's make peace now. Regardless of who wins, let's just make peace. Now, I like when he says that when they're thinking confidently, but I'd like to know what he's going to say if he loses. But the moral of the story is Tuesday night is upon us, the final day. No more early voting. The next couple of days, they can relax. You got people campaigning. The president's got 10 more meetings or rallies or whatever you want to call them in the next 2 days. I gotta say one thing. Trump may not have had the money to spend on advertising, but that son of a gun travels and works at 74 like there's nobody's business.
Oh, it's unbelievable how many rallies that guy can do.
I don't know how he does it. I don't get it. And I'll tell you, he actually is speaking better. And he's speaking about speaking. The other day, I listened to in Orlando. I heard the former President Obama speak, and I got to tell you, I thought he did a phenomenal job, but he actually hurt Biden in this respect, Dean. His energy level is so great, and then you get Biden, and it's like boop. I mean, honestly, well, there's nobody spoke. I'm not an Obama guy, but man, he is the great orator.
Well, honestly, Biden's not out there speaking. I mean, he's out there doing rallies, but he's not with the same kind of energy that Trump's doing them. And and Biden's just kind of biding his time. No pun.
But, yeah, right. That's pretty good. Biden his time. You're doing good. You're red hot today, buddy.
And he's basically running on COVID and. Right now, I mean, that's basically what they've pitted COVID against each other. Trump says, no big deal. We're turning the corner. It's not a problem. Don't worry about it. Everybody's going to get it. It doesn't hurt very many people. And Biden's like, I'm going to listen to the scientists. And, I think people should wear masks. There's reasons why you listen to the scientists. And we want to prevent as much, transmission as we can, because honestly, transmitting to millions and millions of people could be deadly. It could be a really serious problem.
You make a good point. You know, it's funny. I gave some reflection onto what we talked about earlier, and it's interesting because in Europe, I believe, I know for sure in Canada, you cannot smoke in a casino, and you're not allowed to smoke in your car with children. It's against the law.
Right.
Right? You wonder if what's gone on in the United States over the course of the last several months, if those type of changes might actually imposed on the American citizens. Now, you made a comment about what if they made it a mandate, and some people are against the mandates. They don't want to be mandated. They got to do anything. Right. But if the government puts in a federal mandate where you're required to wear masks everywhere, how long before they tell you no more smoking in public areas? I mean, and most buildings around the country are shutting them down.
We live here in Las Vegas, and this is one of the last places where they haven't made smoking in public places illegal. I mean, you go anywhere, most places in the country, and you can't smoke in a restaurant or even a casino for that matter, or public places, bars, restaurants. Most states you can't anymore.
Well, you would think if you want to push health, this would be a smart move. For me, I would outlaw cigarettes altogether, considering my father died of lung cancer, and I knew that was going to happen. I mean, I'm an anti-tobacco guy myself, and I get a kick out of the people say, marijuana, does it cause cancer? How do you know? I mean,
tobacco's big business, though. It's big business in this country.
Big tax revenue.
Around the world. I mean, it supports a lot of people in a lot of
the oil. I mean, I could make the same argument for the oil industry. The oil industry is a big deal.
Right.
They want to get away from that as well. But here's the thing. I mean, when you listen to these politicians on all sides chant and tell you how they're going to make all these changes, you start to scratch your head and think, really? Do we really want government to control everything? And frankly, I don't. I don't want the government so far up my rear end that I can't breathe. Mm-hmm. I don't need them telling me how to live and how to. I mean, I wash my hands. I'll keep my house clean.
There's a happy medium. In my opinion, because we're looking for common ground, there's a happy medium. There has to be. You know, there has to be a place in the middle. The government has to get involved in certain things. Now, I had a debate with a friend of mine who's very conservative, and it was on Facebook, and he said, I actually was only involved in the debate a little. I wasn't really involved that much, but I followed it. I followed the debate on Facebook, and he's very conservative. He's a really smart guy, and he said, I wear a face mask. I just don't want to be told I have to wear a face mask. He doesn't want it mandated. And that brought on a whole conversation from liberals that said, but the government does mandate things like seatbelts and motorcycle helmets and insurance. And, you know, so that we can go through a whole list of things that the government does mandate. And seatbelts save lives. I mean, there's just no question about it. It saves lives and money, because if you're wearing a seatbelt, you're probably going to be less injured, and there's going to be less hospital bills, less for the insurance companies to pay, and so on and so forth. So where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line on what you're going to mandate and what you're not? Face masks, people don't like it, and I guess there's proof that face masks work in preventing COVID, especially when you're talking about viral load. You know, the face masks definitely lower the possibility of transmission and the viral load. And viral load matters when you get COVID, because the higher the viral load, the more chance you're going to get really sick. So, but where do you draw the line? I hear what you're saying, but where do you draw the line?
You know, I it's a great question. I like the fact that we're free and a lot of things we get to do. But the problem in America, we see it time and time again, is some people can't be free. Obviously, you know, you had a shooting in Philadelphia this week, and what did they do? They're stealing. I saw people walking out with, you know, washing machines, pallets of stuff. Right. I mean, the truth be told is we really have issues in this country where people just feel that it's their right to just rape and pillage the stores.
Right.
And I don't get it.
Whenever there's some type of anarchy, that's what happens. And trust me when I tell you it's not political. I was there in L.A., in the L.A. riots, I was there in downtown L.A. I had a warehouse in downtown L.A., and I saw it. It had nothing to do with politics. People just wanted free stuff.
I agree. There's people that
don't care. They just feel like, oh, we have an opportunity to get free stuff, and that's just the bottom line.
Oh, and then they wonder why. You know what, though?
It has nothing to do with—
I get that, but here's the thing. This is my problem. I think it's time for law and order to step up to the game and start swinging for the fences, and you know what, crack a few skulls. Now, people don't want to hear that, but I don't care. If you're going to break, I'll tell you something. If I had a store and I didn't want it to be raped and pillaged, I wouldn't have a problem taking a gun and shooting people. Unfortunately, I'm the one that's going to get arrested protecting my family's livelihood.
Well,
that's
you can't,
wrong.
You know, you can't
Why?
Just shoot people for.
Why?
You know, you can't just shoot people for stealing.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why can't you shoot somebody who breaks into your house to rob your house?
You can do that.
If I own a business, they break into my business, why can't I shoot them?
You can if you feel your life is in danger, but if nobody's there in the middle of the night.
No, wait. I clearly indicate. No, I didn't say that. I said to you, if I was in, I'm protecting my business. I'm going to lock the doors. I'm going to stay inside with a gun. And if they crash the doors to get in there to start raiding, I'm going to shoot people.
Yeah,
now, why can't I do that?
Certain states, you might be allowed to do that. I'm not sure. But I'm talking about if somebody breaks into a business, no one's there, and the cops show up.
That's different.
Cops just can't start shooting everybody.
No, but I'll tell you one thing. They should start cracking some skulls. They need to start using the hoses again like they did back in the old days. Well, because I'll tell you, they do that in China. In China, what they do is they have a dye in the water, and if they squirt you, then they can pick you up later.
Are we just going to become authoritarian?
It's not authoritarian. You're doing wrong. You're committing a crime. You deserve to pay the price.
Your ass should be grass. That's for the states to decide how you handle these things.
And the states, what they decide is that if you protect your property, you're guilty, and if you steal property, you're okay.
No, but there's a fine line. There was plenty of cases where people where there has been some civil unrest in the United States over the last 6 months, where people who own businesses called the cops, and when the cops got there, they placed them under arrest, and they made them suspects as well. They're like, people are breaking into my business, and they called the cops. The cops get there, and they say, they don't know who's who, so they put them under arrest too. I mean, you're walking. There's a lot of fine lines that, and just try to feel what that would feel like.
I'm going to sit here and tell you, if you come into my house to try to do harm, and if you break through the door, that's harm, you're going to get shot.
That's legal. You're allowed to do that. That's something that...
But you could still get prosecuted.
Well, in certain states, you can only retaliate with what you've been threatened with. So if somebody's unarmed and they come to your house, I actually don't know what the actual law is here. But in a lot of states, if someone comes in unarmed and you shoot them and you were not in fear of your life, you have to say that you're in fear of your life.
Anybody that crashes in my house, if I have a business, they break down glass. Right.
But
I'm afraid for my life.
Pat, most people agree with you. That's not something that's in question. You know, that's something that everybody agrees with. That's something we can agree with on. If someone breaks into your house and you feel like your life's in danger, shoot them. I mean, that's just nobody disagrees with that. That's why people have guns.
And you have people running on the premise that they want to take away our Second Amendment right?
No, nobody. Who has ever said that?
They want to take away most of our guns. I've heard. I actually heard. Beto O'Rourke would love to take our guns. Beto O'Rourke wants to take our Second Amendment rights.
No, name one person.
Beto O'Rourke.
Name one person that wants to take away the Second Amendment.
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke has never said that.
Yes, he has.
He said he wants common sense gun laws. He has never said
he wants actually in an interview. Joe Biden actually said, yes, they're coming for the guns. He said
No one is.
Biden said it. Obama, I saw the video.
And when Obama ran for president in 2008, he said, I promise you I'm not touching the Second Amendment.
He did say that.
And did he?
No, he didn't touch it.
He never even brought it up.
But Biden did say that.
Biden
said it.
The same thing. But most Democrats are in favor of common sense gun laws. Now, me personally, I think that you should have to take a gun safety class.
Everybody, there's no problem with that.
Yeah,
I agree.
They do. Yeah, there is. Most gun owners, the NRA is against it. And for me, I'm like,
the NRA is against safety classes?
Yeah.
Never heard that.
The NRA is against they're not against safety classes.
You just said they were against safety classes.
No, they're against mandating safety classes to own a gun.
Well, that's stupid. I would think mandating a safety class makes common sense.
Right. So it's a win-win. You know how many police officers and ex-military would love to teach a gun safety class? They could make money doing it. Then the state could make money, you know, because you could charge for the class, pay the teacher, the state takes the rest. I mean, it's just money in the bank. It's a win-win. And then everybody gets a gun safety class. That's the kind of thing that most Democrats want. I want that. I think it's dumb that you can just go buy a gun without taking a gun safety class. Mostly, if you don't know how to use a gun and you just buy one, you're setting yourself up to get hurt. In my opinion,
I would agree. But I have to tell you, I don't recall. I always thought that you had to know how to use the gun before you could get access to it. Hey, the phone number here is 702-257-5396. We want to open up the lines now. 702-257-5396. This is it, man.
Anyone can walk up and buy a gun. I mean, it's just you just gotta.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
Not in Nevada, you can't. If you're from California, you're not even allowed in the gun store.
Well, I don't know what the rules are about living in state and stuff, but if you're a Nevada resident, you have an ID, you can walk up and buy a gun.
No, Nevada, if you're a Nevada resident, yes, but if you're not living here, you can't just go and walk and buy a gun.
That might be true, but if you do live here, you can go buy a gun. And if you live in California, you have a California ID, you can go buy a gun in California.
Getting a gun in California is not that easy.
I used to live in California.
Right now, it's not that easy.
I don't know if
in fact, getting a CCW in California or Northern California for sure is virtually impossible.
A carrier's permit?
Yeah.
I lived in California. I lived in L.A. for many years, and I never had a problem buying a gun. I didn't have a problem getting a permit. I had a cash business.
Yeah, but now it's a whole different ballgame.
And maybe they've changed the law since I've been there, but it wasn't. I don't know what the state laws are. I can tell you I lived in California for 25 years. I never had a problem buying a gun. Never. Not once. And it was just as easy as it is here. So I don't know, but in most states, that's the case. I mean, I know I don't think there's anywhere in the country where you can't just go buy a gun. Some states require background checks.
You try to get a gun in New York City? Impossible.
I don't know. I don't know the law in New York City.
New York City is practically...
They can't prevent you from it, but maybe they can do a background check.
And heaven forbid you carry a gun in New York illegally. Even if you own the gun legally and you carried a gun into a place,
yeah.
and God forbid it misfires on without intention, you're going to jail.
Well, yeah, but...
Plaxico Burress will tell you that.
Right. There's a lot of states where you're not... Well, most states you're not allowed to conceal carry without a permit. I don't even know which states allow it, concealed carry without a permit. Maybe Texas. I'm not sure. A lot of states allow you to open carry, which I think is dumber. I think you should be allowed to conceal carry and not open carry. Because when people are open carrying, it causes, to me, it brings up suspicion. I see somebody open carrying, and I'm like, I got to keep an eye on this guy.
I'd rather see an open carry. At least I know who's got the gun.
What? At least, yeah, but can you trust them? I don't know.
Sure, you can.
I'd rather they let people conceal carry. I mean, to me, it makes more sense.
We got a call here. We're going to bring a caller into this conversation. Hey, Will, welcome to the show. How's it going, Bobby?
Pretty good. Pretty.
Who's this,
well,
Bobby?
No, I know, but
I like that.
Your young lady, she exposes me every time. So
it's okay.
If I say Will, then I don't know if I'll get on. So I'd spread names around, but she just discovers me right away. So.
Well, she's good. That's what she's there for. That's why she makes the big bucks, and we work for her.
That's right. A professional interrogator, I might add.
She's very good.
So look, gentlemen, here's my position. I thought we were supposed to be talking about reconstructing our government. So I don't want to change subjects. So I'm caught in a conflict here.
We just get off on tangents, Will. I mean, what can you do? We live in a divisive country, and it's hard to find, we need to find common ground. We need to find who knows what's going to happen this week. So we need to find things that we agree on. I agree.
Yes. Now, everything you just said was absolutely correct. These times are so complex, so interwoven, so inlaid, fabric-like, so pickup sticks-like, that it's very difficult to stay on the mission, and the mission should be what are our top priorities that are undeniable, okay? And in my position, rather than discuss the gun issue, what I'd rather say is this. The first step that we need to take, in my opinion, is to have all the resignation of every public employee out there. We're going to terminate you, and we're going to rehire you at a flat hourly wage. I do not pay your babysitters. I do not pay your retreat plans. I don't pay your educational plans. I don't pay your medication. If you're a good person and you do a good job, we're going to give you a performance bond or performance bonus. And at the end of 7 years, by the way, that job is up unless somebody else doesn't want to take it. And we expect you to train the individual. Now, here's why I'm saying this. Gentlemen, everything we do to recorrect, and believe you me, we got a lot of corrections to make, in my opinion. Everything we do is for naught if we don't stop right now and redefine our government. And that government has to be put into three sections. That's life essential services, essential services, and everything else under amenities or other. If we don't stop right now and redefine what our mission is supposed to be as government, I don't know where to go if we don't do that there first, unless you can show me a better path of reasoning. See what I'm saying? And here's why. I'm from the old school, okay? I'm one of those people that didn't get rounded up and reorganized mentally, I guess. And my point is this, that I remember as a child, my family had businesses. You never paid a public employee more than the average citizen. That was like the foundation, and if you did, there better be a good reason for it.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to be a public employee. It was a terrible job.
You know who the highest paid public employees are?
No. I imagine cops, probably.
No.
Coaches.
No.
Coaches. Nick Saban, for example.
Yeah, at colleges, he's right.
Employee, and he makes $7 million.
Oh, yeah, he's making millions.
He's I think he might be the highest paid public employee. And then, but there's other coaches too from different states.
So here's my reasoning why, if I might. What's happened is our public employees have formed unions, and those unions have formed alliances, and those alliances with the entitlement group, and the education is no longer an institution, it's an industry. And what they've done is they've formed these various alliances. The most staggering one is the media. I never in my lifetime would have seen that one coming. So what happens is now is they have become an aristocratic elite because we have provided the perfect world for them. And they've turned us into a subservient or an indentured servant. Everything you go to do now is complex. And they know it has a cost factor to it. And then what they do is they blame the police. They put the police out in front of them. And the poor policeman, let me tell you something, you pay me $100,000 a year, send me into a very dangerous, fractured place. It's hard for me to walk away from $100,000 a year, and yet it's so broken because you created it. In other words, the politicians are creating these disparaging communities because they've lost their mission. They've lost the values and the foundations under which we were supposed to be a great nation. They throw all these crap things together, force the integration, all these other things. Then they put a cop in the middle of it, and then they put penalties on top of all this crap they form. And by the time the cop gets the citizen, that citizen doesn't know whether to run or shoot himself or somebody else. They get my drift here. It's not the cop. What I'm trying to tell you. So if we bring this back, we come back to the public employee sector, who we gave our hope, faith, trust, and dreams to, we conveyed to them. And then they turned around and they've abandoned us, really. And they have betrayed us. And if we don't stop right now, and here's why. These are our children. I'm not talking about, I've been many, many places, but I'm talking, this is so deviant. Our society is so fractured, so broken, so cracked at least, that it's actually into our homes. Our families are now going through this division.
Well, so Will, do you think that it can be fixed, or you just think, like, what happens if the election doesn't come out with a clear advantage to someone? What happens if, you know, people can't decide who won, if there's any kind of indiscrepancy or...
Don't complex up your question. Your question was a hell of a question on its very face when you first answered it. We get that. I get that. We are so broken. We are so... How can I put this? We have been so divided that that question you just begged is going to be one of the most historical questions there are. And here's why. New technology is coming online. Robotics is coming online. AI is coming online. Communications coming online, new capacitors, new energy sources, everything. We're about to do some type of evolutionary leap, in my opinion, of some kind or another. And it's not going to be transformational, not going to be transformational and transitional.
We've had a huge leap. The last 30 years has been a huge leap.
You know, let me interject something here. Let me just say, because we're going to go to a break shortly here. Let me say this, Will or Bobby and Dean, I'll interject this to you right now. If for some reason on Tuesday, they announced that I'm going to use President Trump wins big, but we don't have the official tally is not official. Right now he's so far ahead in Pennsylvania, but we still have votes to count and they got to count it for several other days. And all of a sudden somebody brings in, you know, a bucket of ballots where there's thousands of them and they're all Democratic ballots because of the harvesting. And all of a sudden it cost Trump the loss. I do firmly believe we will see violence in the United States of America.
And I believe if Biden wins, has a small win, and on a technicality, the Supreme Court gives the contest to Trump. Same thing will happen.
Gentlemen, we're going to go to a break. Bobby, great for the call. 257-5396 is the call to call us. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk to you about the Castle Doctrine. We're going to get into what we think is going to happen this next Tuesday. My name is Pat Casale. This is Common Ground.
Don't miss MJ Christensen's Gold and Diamond Buying Event this Friday and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., October 9th and 10th. Bring in your gold and diamonds for the highest prices paid. Walk-ins welcome, private appointments available. So bring in your unwanted gold and diamonds. They're going to pay the most for your jewelry. MJ Christensen is located in Boca Park. Cliff and Darlene will take care of you. That's this Friday and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., October 9th and 10th at MJ Christensen in Boca Park.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they helped me. They calmed me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a lot better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-685-5688. 800-685-5688. 800-685-5688.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9555. 800-379-9550.
KDWN, Las Vegas.
We're back. Common ground. My name is Cassell. That's Patrick A. And my good friend Dean Schulman. By the way, just for the record, special condolences to one of the great men in James Bond lore. Sean Connery, 90 years old, passed away today. And I got to tell you something. I got a picture of Sean Connery in my office. I gave to my mother, a drawing. One of my favorite actors. I loved him in so many movies. Now I can't think of my favorite movie. I went blank. James Bond. God! He plays a professor. Well, he was a writer, famous writer. Great movie. I cannot think. And I got to look it up. You know what? I hate when that happens. That's a sign of old age. Yeah. I'm losing my mind. It's one of my favorite all time. I watch it literally anytime I can see it. It hasn't been on in a while. But I will tell you, Sean Connery was without question. It wasn't the Untouchables. That was okay. But, he's made a lot of movies. I tell you, it was great. Indiana Jones as well.
Yeah.
I loved him in The Rock. But the movie, and my friend liked Entrapment, which was okay. That's not the movie. But I cannot believe, and it's not here. Like, look, it's not right. It's not one of the first things that came out.
Hey, Pat. So I want to give a shout out to JD who calls all the time. Last week, I told him I'd have a list for him of voter frauds in the United States. So I did do some research, and there's actually been 1,296 proven voter fraud transactions since 1992. And the most recent big case was probably that of Leslie McRae Dowles in North Carolina, who is a Republican, and he was indicted on multiple voter fraud charges, and he's still under indictment. I don't believe he's been to trial. But they had to redo that congressional election because of him. But of the 1,296, 1,120 resulted in criminal convictions. But they were mostly small convictions. I mean, you're talking about people who voted twice or voted with a bunch of people's mail-in ballots. Small crimes like that. And I have to tell you, it's pretty split, Republicans and Democrats. You can look it up, but it's not just one party or the other. There's just people that are willing to do it because they for their cause, and it has nothing to do with, if you think it's one way or the other, you're wrong. It's pretty 50.
No, I think politics is pretty dirty as a whole. By the way, the movie was Finding Forrester, which is an outstanding movie. You've got to watch it.
Yeah.
I when I tell you it's great, unbelievable. And I will tell you that. Yeah, I was upset. I'm getting a little emotional. I mean, he was my childhood. James Bond. I mean, he was the greatest, 007. Yeah. Well, now, let's go back to the Castle Doctrine. And the Castle Doctrine is also known as Castle Law or Defense of Habitation Law. It's a legal doctrine that designates a person's abode or legally occupied place, for example, a vehicle or a home, as a place in which that person has protection and immunities, permitting one, in certain circumstances, to use force up to and including deadly force to defend itself, oneself against an intruder, free from legal prosecution for the consequences of the force. However, if you go further down, Castle doctrines may not provide civil immunity, such as from wrongful death suits, which may cause you financial harm. That's why there's the old expression, if you hit somebody with your car, throw it in the reverse, make sure you finish the job. I didn't say that, but it's, you know, it's partly out there. But there's also a subsection in Nevada. It says a person is not required to retreat before using deadly force as provided in subsection 1. If the person is not the original aggressor, has a right to be present at the location where deadly force is used, and is not actively engaged in conduct and furtherance of criminal activity at the time deadly force is used. So that's pretty much the rules. But
So there's the Castle Doctrine, from what I understand, is pretty clear about your home. You know, like everybody's allowed to protect themselves in their home. Now, some states have standing
It clearly states a person's abode or any legally occupied place. For example, a vehicle or a home, complete your place of business.
Right. So, yeah, if you're there, everybody has the right. That's the part of the Second Amendment, if I'm not mistaken. You're allowed to protect yourself in your home or your business.
And I'm going to sit here and tell you then. Under the new laws and the way things are prosecuted in this country, if you were to shoot a perpetrator trying to rob your place of business, nowadays, you're the one that's got to prove yourself innocent because, unfortunately, they're looking to prosecute you.
It depends. If you're not being threatened with deadly force, there could be a problem.
So wait a minute. When somebody breaks into your building, you don't know. If there's somebody's willing to break down the wall to come into your – you're going to have time to sit there. Do you have a gun?
Make sure you say when the cop comes, I was in fear of my life. That's all.
Well, make sure that you have a throwaway that nobody knows about and you put it in their hand. That's a whole other story. I didn't say that.
Pat, if you're in fear of your life, you're allowed to protect yourself.
I agree.
Now, a lot of people take the Castle Doctrine a step further. Some states with stand your ground laws. Now, stand your ground is a whole other story. You don't have to be at home. You know, that was the whole thing with, what was that guy's name in Florida? you know, Trayvon Martin.
I know who you're talking about.
But the
nut job that got arrested with a gun in Texas.
Right, yeah. So, you know, stand your ground, you can, you know.
Zimmerman, George Zimmerman.
Zimmerman. Yeah, so that was the whole problem with the Zimmerman case was the stand your ground laws. So, you know, it can get confusing, but nobody's taking the right for self-defense. I mean, if you feel like your life is in danger, you can kill someone, you can shoot. If you feel like someone's going to take your life, it doesn't even matter where you
are. I'm just going to tell you right now, we got a caller named Steve who's going to discuss a friend of his who got in some trouble using the Castle Law. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show, and please enlighten us.
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. A true story. Back east in little old Rhode Island where I came from, a friend of mine, Frank, was having a little party. No drugs, no alcohol, nothing. Just a social get-together, having dinner. Some lunatics decide that they're going to break the door around, come in with butcher knives and baseball bats, start touching the women and saying nasty things. Well, this other guy in the back of the house was able to fly in, run up the stairs, and come down with a gun. He said, MF, get out of here right now. They moved towards him, and he fired. The guy with the butcher knife moved toward him. He fell backwards out the screen door and was laying on the patio or whatever. The police officer, when he got there, said, we'll take care of this, but it's too bad he didn't fall down inside your house. If you guys know what this poor guy went through, court, lawyers, thousands of dollars, finally, they found him innocent. I guess he wasn't charged. But because the impact pushed the guy out the door and he fell outside the house, you wouldn't believe what this guy went through.
Yeah, I've heard cases like that. Make sure if the guy falls outside your house, drag him in. I've heard that. You know,
like you can't chase the guy down the street either.
Because there's technicalities. Different states have very precise laws, and it's tricky. It is tricky. Was that in Westerly or Providence?
Guys. May I make another statement?
Hey, Frank, was it Westerly or Providence?
Steve.
Actually, it was Providence, Rhode Island. You know the area, huh?
Yeah.
Providence, right. Rhode Island. And Frank was a carpenter, in fact, a friend of mine for many years. But it's too bad that it happened to him. Thank God that, like I said, it ended up a positive ending to a long ordeal. Guys, can I make a comment about the election? Just a quick one?
Sure. I'd love you to, yeah.
Thank you. Something I wish you guys had mentioned it. Nobody does. And no, it's not Hunter Biden's laptop. It's something much more important called the Electoral College. I listen to 5, 6, 7 hours a day, radio, TV. I haven't heard one person say. Now, listen, the guys who make the polls, they say plus or minus 5%. Could be off by 10, 20, 30%. Every single poll, Real Clear Politics,
right.
70 to win. I've looked at 20 different websites. Everybody's got Trump losing by about 120 electoral votes.
Actually, even, it's funny you say that. I've looked at it several. I've been looking at it all week. I don't see him losing like that. First of all, I believe this. I told this to Dean. Pennsylvania is where it all lies.
Yep.
He wins Pennsylvania. This game is over because I think he's going to win Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. He's going to win Florida. He's going to win his normal states, Texas.
You're speculating.
But I do think that he will lose in the state of Wisconsin. I think he's got a shot to win Minnesota. I think he's going to win Michigan. Now, I mean, this is my opinion. I also think he's got a shot in Nevada. Right now, they're neck and neck based on the information I got today. It's very, very close. The only thing that we're worried about, quite frankly, is whether or not the election is stolen because of the way they're doing things. And frankly, there's a lot of issues. Hold on. There's a court thing. Our attorney general is a scumbag.
No.
It's the Democrats in Nevada. It's the Democrats in Nevada. The court case was supposed to be listened to Wednesday, got put off, and the attorney general sent out a letter and says, listen, we have more important things than dealing with this case right now. We'll worry about it on Monday. I mean, these are the kind of things I've seen. It's ridiculous. I will sit here and tell you, Dean, in Nevada, with this governor of ours, don't be surprised if he shuts us down again. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Well, the whole country might get shut down again, but that's beside the
point. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. I want to let you guys finish. I get enthused sometimes and I talk
no,
about
no, I like it. What are you going to say?
I have some energy, some passion. You know what? I understand, like I said, polls are not accurate. But to be off that much, Pat, it scares me. Because listen to this. If he wins the election, everybody's excited. Oh, there's 100,000 people at a rally. What good does it do when 538 people decide the whole election? Why do we even bother to have a popular vote? You know what this is like? If you ever went to a horse race, the horse wins by 10 lengths, but the jockey falls off the horse 10 feet before the finish line, so he's declared null and void, not the winner. If Trump can win by a million zillion votes, it doesn't matter. If he loses the Electoral College, it's all over. But I wish you guys would talk about it.
But it goes the other way. You know, the same goes the other way, too.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Biden's going to win the popular vote. There's no question about it.
But what I'm concerned about, Dean, more than anything,
really?
all the polls have him so... Listen, if it was behind by 20, 30 votes, they got him losing by over 100, 120, or 130 votes.
Well, yeah, we don't know. No, listen, the Democrats don't trust the polls. The Democrats are scared out of their minds. They saw what happened in 2016. And so the pollsters, I can tell you what the pollsters say, because I listen to a lot of pollsters. And I'll bring up Nate Silver, who's one of the more popular poll, you know, guys who talks about the polls and 538. Have you looked at 538?
I've seen a little bit of pieces of it. And there's a guy now, Alan Lichtman. He made a big 13-factor formula called Keys to the White House.
That's the guy from yesterday.
He says that, well, that guy says that people aren't polling Republicans properly. And Nate Silver and his people said the same thing. If we're off again, but if all the polls are off, then something's wrong with the way we're polling Republicans.
Well, Frank Luntz announced that if they're wrong again, they're out of business.
Right. Well, they said they're not out of business. They just got to figure out what they're doing wrong. This is what they said. It's not my opinion. This is what the pollsters say. If they're off again by like that, like 2016, they got to figure out a way to poll Republicans better. So we have to. That's what they said. So we have to figure out a way that we're obviously not polling Republicans properly. If that's the case, you know. So they got to figure out what they're doing wrong. Now that guy Lichtman, he's the guy in Atlanta. Is that who's based in Atlanta? Am I talking about the right person?
Because I just heard about him today. I just found out about him today, Dean. He wrote a book called The Case for Impeachment, too. That's the same guy.
Oh, I think it's a different guy. There's a pollster.
100% since 1984.
There's a pollster who predicted Trump's win in 2016. He's one of the only ones. And he said the reason why is because he said the same thing. He said people aren't polling Republicans properly, and he explains why. He actually has a theory on how he polls and why why they're not pulling Republicans properly. But that's what's going to have to happen. If they're off by that much, the pollsters would say, well, they're going to have to take a look at it. Like with any business that's failing, you know, they're going to have to say, hey, if we were off by that much again, what are we doing wrong? And obviously what they're doing wrong is not polling Republicans properly. So,
right.
But I can tell you, Democrats are scared as hell. They think that they're not trusting the polls either.
Dean, I think it's the proportion. I've always said this. When there's racial trials, let's say a black person, and they have too many white jurors, then they claim prejudice. Why can't they have a 12-person jury, 6 blacks and 6 whites, exactly equal? Why can't they poll 1,000 people and reveal to the public, but they won't, and they're not honest, that we polled 500 Democrats and 500 Republicans, not 700 Democrats and 300 Republicans?
Well, they don't even know. Sometimes they don't even know who they're polling.
By 12%. You know, there's an old saying, numbers don't lie. Excuse me, figures don't lie, but liars do the figuring.
Right.
I remember that in high school. But, you know, it's to me, I'm just concerned about the magnitude of the difference in the poll. If he was off by 20, 30 votes, I could see it. But I'm just...
Well, we'll see. They claim they're not wrong. They claim there's some big differences this time, but we'll see on Tuesday.
I have the Lichtman. Steve, thank you for the call. We appreciate you. If you're out there, you can join in.
I leave you with a joke before we go.
Go ahead.
They asked Biden, they tried to quiz him and pin him down, what he thought about Red China. He stumbled for a second and scratched his head and said, well, my wife says it looks nice on a blue tablecloth.
That's pretty good.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
702-257-5396, 257-5396. I saw this yesterday. Lichtman came up. He said instead of 7, there'll be 8 specific factors or 7 factors against Trump. But because of the pandemic, I tend to think that his idea this time around may not work. However, he did predict Joe Biden to win. Now, based on these factors, based on the Electoral College, I think Donald Trump is in a much better position. If it was a popular vote, I think you're 100% right. I don't think he could win the popular vote.
Right. No,
especially the way things are run on the West Coast because
of
the size.
They're predicting that he's going to win the popular vote by more than Hillary did. But that's neither here nor there.
I actually believe, based on what I'm hearing, talking to my friend Dave Bossi and company.
You're listening to Republicans, though.
No. Well, again, I'm telling you what I talked to the Republicans. I don't really talk to Democrats. It's true. But I'm going to sit here and tell you, based on the things that we're hearing, the numbers in certain states are like Georgia's a lot more one-sided than we can imagine. Now, I heard that today, and I was in shock, but they're saying Georgia's definitely going red. So again,
I have a hard time believing. Well, Georgia, I'm not sure. They people have been saying that's close. So, but I have a hard time believing South Carolina.
I'm going to tell you, North Carolina is not. After that idiot senator who had it all locked up, got caught screwing around, things are never going to go his way. I mean,
he's up 10 points according to the polls.
That's total BS.
How is it BS? We'll see. We're going to have to wait and see.
We're going to find out Tuesday.
I can tell you,
but let me just say this: the best part about I wanted to read these factors off. So he said. Short-term economic key because of the election year, we're in a recession. I don't think you could hold that against the president because we're going through what's called a pandemic.
That's not a real logical
number this time around. Then when you look at long-term economical key because of the sharply negative growth this year, well, we just had a great quarter, so I don't know if I can put that factor in there. Social unrest, I could definitely see that being one of the factors. This one I totally agree with. Incumbent charisma, because Trump appeals only to a narrow base. We've discussed this on numerous occasions. Right. Donald Trump's biggest problem is himself.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was just a little sweeter, you know, if he you know, the old adage about sugar and honey versus vinegar?
Right.
This man brings friggin' acid. I mean, he's brutal. But I will tell you, that's the only reason. Normally, I would say if Lichtman said this, we're screwed. But and when I looked at the different facets under his premise, I actually believe this time he's incorrect. That's my opinion.
Look, Pat, all we can do is wait and see because there's such a big discrepancy in the polls and what people believe. But I can tell you, from my own personal value standpoint, if Lindsey Graham wins and Cunningham wins, what does that say about our country? Lindsey Graham is the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen in my life. And this guy Cunningham, who's a Democrat, is, cheated on his wife like 3 times after he got the nomination. So if he wins and Lindsey Graham wins, I don't even know what to say about people in general.
We have callers.
What? Okay.
We go to Frank, my good friend, saying that people will vote for an infirm man. We got it. Frankie, how are you?
I'm kind of brokenhearted about my country. I mean, before the late, great Jerry Doyle passed, I got to say on this same 50,000 watts that this was about a month out. I said 2 weeks before the election with the Hildebeest, 47% of the registered voters in this country could, on a national viewing audience, all the networks, watch the Hildebeest kill a newborn baby, and though that 47% would still vote for her. But to vote for people like LeBron James that I saw, I said, this is not just your average jock. This guy's, I thought he was intelligent. I mean, Biden cannot read a teleprompter. He doesn't know what county or state he is.
Hey, Frank,
he referred to it, but George Bush.
Frank.
Yes.
The problem is that I understand your opinion. I do. I understand that that's your opinion and that's how you feel. But do you understand that half the country feels the exact opposite?
Hey, okay, you're talking about feelings. They love
right.
it.
This is your feelings. You're expressing your feelings. And I'm just saying half the country.
Dean, I'm just going to leave you with this. And to quote the Hill, she just said this again. She said, do you want an infirm man with his hands on the box? Good day.
Yeah, I don't want Trump. I'd rather not have Trump on the box. Exactly.
We go to
exactly.
Al.
I 100% do not want Trump on the box.
Hey, Al, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good, buddy. Hey, I wanted to share this with Nevada, especially the guys that are for Trump. I think Nevada, in a certain scenario, could come down to make the deciding state vote for the following reason. If you go to 270towin.com and you turn all the Browns, which are the toss-up red, which are the following: Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Ohio, and Iowa. If you turn them all red, if Trump wins Pennsylvania, Nevada can pull him over the top.
Wow.
I don't think Arizona is going to go with Trump from the stuff that I've been reading.
It's going to be close. Arizona's always going to be close.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say that, you know, if you're a Nevadan, this is my point. Whether you're a Democrat, I'm Republican or a Republican. If corporate rates go up, corporate interest rates go up, and if taxes go up for corporations, we're going to lose a lot of jobs. Our homes are going to go down in value. And as long as we can keep interest rates and corporate rates low, Nevada can fend for itself. You know, we can go, because, you know, whoever wins, nobody's going to care about Nevada, man. We're on the bottom. You know, I hate to say it, nobody cares about us. We got to control our own destiny. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Well, that's true.
You know, hopefully, Nevada, Al, we can overcome, because I got to tell you right now, I really wonder where we're going to go. I mean, it's interesting.
Nevada,
and by the way,
tourism.
I'm looking at right now,
tourism, Nevada,
they're saying the Senate race in North Carolina is about 5 points away now. They just showed it on the board. Yeah. We got Val, thank you for the call. Hope you keep calling.
Lead, though, right?
Pardon?
They
got Cunningham in the lead. That's what I saw, yeah.
Yeah.
We go to Brian. Brian, Trump's looking good in Florida. Go for it, Brian.
Yeah, the governor of Florida tweeted this morning, I believe it was, that 520,000 more Republicans have voted in early voting in Florida. And that's unheard of.
Yeah.
And in Dade County. And I'll tell you, he's got
votes over the Democrats this time, and it's usually reversed.
What's really interesting is the fact that Donald Trump has done something no Republican before him has ever done, and he's crossing over into the black community and the Hispanic community like levels we've never seen. And I predicted on a show on this channel he'll get 25% of the black vote, and if he does, that'll be game over. And I made a bet with a guy here, and guess what? That was a number I heard today. I about wet myself. I'm like, oh, I got $100 coming. I mean, I hope the guy remembers to pay me, because I know he'd be looking for me if I lost. But I think we'll see.
Trafalgar Polling, who was the only polling outfit that came close to getting it right in 2016, is now giving it to Trump with 270 in mid-270 electoral votes.
Which is too close for comfort. When I saw that number, I don't know how you can make assessment like that
as of now. But here's my tip. I think it's going to be even better in Pennsylvania and the Rust Belt states because of Biden and the fossil fuel thing. That affects everything: the auto industry and every industry around the auto industry, the gasoline prices, and everything else. I think there's going to be a huge swing of people saying, hey, look, I like to work for a living.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're all speculating. If the polls are right, Biden wins easy. If the polls are wrong, like in 2016, Trump wins. I mean, I don't know. You hear so much. There's so much information on both sides. I don't even know what to believe.
Nice
catch. All I know is I'm not counting my chickens before they're hatched. I don't think anybody should.
I'm nervous. I'll admit, I'm a little bit nervous.
The uncertainty is at unprecedented levels. So I don't even know what to say. One thing I can say about Florida, though, is every single election, Florida's close. There hasn't been an election in Florida that wasn't close in a long time. Even DeWine and the senator, who used to be the governor, both their races were really close. They both won, but by really slim margins. And the last few presidential races have been really slim. I mean, I think Obama won in 2008 pretty handily, but in 2012 it was really close, and it was in 2016, and it's going to be close again. I'm telling you, it's not going to be
a
landslide.
One quick thing, guys. Hey, thank you so much for the gift card. I really appreciate it, both of you. I love the show, and you guys have. I'll be biting my nails until late Tuesday night. I know
everybody
that.
Is.
I'll be in the war room on Tuesday. Don't worry, I'll be there. So thank you very much, and I'll actually be here Tuesday night with Mr. Sanchez. We're having a big night here, a big party. A bunch of people will be showing up. But, you know, I'm looking at this New York Times article, and racial and ethnic divides. Actually, Biden is making gains with white voters,
right?
But it's Trump making the gains in the non-white. And,
yeah,
and the interesting thing about that.
I saw that.
The interesting thing about the whole picture is all of a sudden the Democrats are going to lose ground in areas they've never even came close to, and the Republicans are gaining ground in areas, which basically increases their base, which is what goes back to the convention. I was totally floored at the great convention the Republicans had because of its diversity and youth. And I will sit here and say this. On the Democratic side, they're a lot older than they need to be. And believe me, there's a lot of old Republicans, too. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But we'll see where that goes. I mean, Dean, it's going
to
be interesting.
I can tell you this. Two things. One, whoever loses is going to have to go back to the drawing board. And
party-wise, you mean? Okay.
What?
You mean by the party, you mean?
Party-wise, yeah. And just say, hey, what are we doing? What can we do to make this better? And the other thing is, next week we're going to be – I've lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Well, here's what I can say. I will say this. If Donald Trump wins, it's based on the messaging he's offering and, frankly, the fear that some of the people like Elizabeth Warren – and AOC may have much stronger positions and say so in our country.
Right.
That's what's scaring a lot of people from the Democratic ranks to the Republican ranks. Mm-hmm. And I will sit here and say, and I've told you this as well, if Donald Trump would have been a little bit different, I don't think he could have lost this race. I think this race is his to lose more than it is Biden's to win.
Right. Well, I don't think people would disagree with you on that. Trump has done a lot of things to alienate people and make people angry, to be honest with you. So
considering that he's done such a good job, he's also done a hell of a job pissing down his own leg. But,
hope we can keep the peace.
You know what? Let's hope. Next week, man, I'm telling you, I'll be nervous. Tuesday night I'll be at the War Room. We're down at the South Point with the RNC.
Right.
Dean, you have a good one, and I'm sure we'll be talking Wednesday morning.
Okay.
You take care.
All right, Pat.
And everybody out there, I want to say thank you for listening. I hope you continue to tune in, and we'll catch you next week. God bless.